Welcome along to the episode 40 of season 3, the final podcast of 2019, unless we do a little tribute podcast, the best of next week, which may be in the offing with Johnny Ward and Daniel McDonald. Today's special guest is Vinnie Perth, his second appearance on LOI Weekly, and we're on Podcast Republic, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, at LOI Weekly on Twitter, and as ever, with thanks to Air Sport and Independent.ie, and a great thanks to everyone for listening in. This is the third year of the podcast, the last time Dan and I will be in the Air studios this year, and we really are grateful for all your interaction and listening over the season. And later on in the show, we're going to hear from David Parkhouse, who's a member of the Derry City team that obviously did so well this season. And he will talk about the season that he had and his plans for the future. But first of all...
Do we have some books to give away from Neil Horgan?
We do. We have books. So
what would we do? I think maybe actually... I mean, I know without sounding desperate, would we go for some more iTunes reviews or Apple Podcast reviews? If you can give us a review of the year... on Apple Podcasts, your review, what you liked, what you didn't like about the pod this year, and we'll pick the best, least insulting ones. How many copies of the book do we have, John?
We've actually a copy of each of his three books.
Oh, for how many people?
We only have one copy of each.
Oh, okay, so it's one for the best one. Okay,
yeah.
We will sort that out. Mm. So if you want to just go on to Apple Podcasts...
They may have a vague second-hand kind of nature about them, because I'm currently reading one of them. But
okay, so if you find any betting dockets or...
Coffee stains
on them. You know what I mean? Maybe, listen, for a regular podcast listener, that could be an attraction. It could be like a Johnny Ward-worn copy of the book. It could have like little... postlets, little notes, little comments about people, you know,
Vinny,
little Shamrock Rovers badge maybe or something like that.
What's really noticeable before I start is that when you listen, and I sometimes listen, sometimes I don't.
You listen all the time.
No, I actually don't.
Every week you're giving out to one of us.
Right. Sometimes I listen, depending. I always get the impression you aren't prepared. Now it's being confirmed you aren't prepared. So I get that. That's good.
We do have preparation here. We actually do have a sheet with preparation on it, but we very rarely refer to it.
No. The best way is...
Well, I mean, to be fair, I will point out that like we came in here today and you're about to come in and like there was a slight delay. And I said to Johnny, I said, listen, you know, is Vinny let you know he's on the way? And Johnny said, I don't know. I've turned my phone off today. Mm. So, like,
well, I gave him the address and told him to be here at 1:00. He turned up at 1:30. That's not very professional, if you ask me.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
at least he's
you
here.
What if he had a serious accident in traffic and tried to ring you and it's like your phone was off?
So society demands you have to have your phone all the time, does it? All the time.
It probably does now, yeah.
Yeah, I don't conform to that.
And Johnny, you don't conform to anything. Let's get on with the show. Yes.
Getting back to the Neil Horgan book, so I met Neil Horgan last week because he's based in Dublin at the moment. And I said, has Dan read your book? And he goes, I think he's read some of it. He's definitely read some of it anyway. So he gave me the book anyway, and I went home that evening, turned to the back page, and one of the reviews was from Daniel McDonald. I said, what a great book, yada, yada. He hadn't even read the whole thing.
I did read the whole thing.
Vinnie Perth, congratulations. Three competitions going the way of Dundalk, and within a penalty shootout of being four this season, your first season in the job.
Yeah, we've won four trophies, if you count what was at the time a big trophy for us in the President's Cup. So 4 out of 5, and we've missed out on a penalty shootout. So, to be fair, hasn't been a bad season. And I suppose the way we finished it at the end, it was kind of special. It was a really good week for us. We needed that week after the disappointment of the penalty shootout. So, yeah, it's been another great season for the club.
I apologise for not mentioning the President's Cup, because it's actually become a really, really good curtain raiser, our own charity shield. And you're already thinking next season it'll actually be a cracking game at the start of the season.
Yeah, I understand where Cork have ended up and... you know, at the time it was a big game for the two teams, and there's still that rivalry even later on in the season between the two clubs. So at the time it was a big deal for both.
And also, Dan, President Higgins is such a big fan of the league as well. It's a game that like you look forward to get the whole ball.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a downer in around, I don't know, 7 years' time, and it's Peter Casey or someone with the President's Cup or whatever. Jesus, whatever.
It'll take place in the Phoenix Park alongside all the travellers that he wants to move there.
Yeah, it probably just won't take place at all.
Yeah.
But, Vinny, you mentioned you needed that last week. I mean, I did get the sense at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday that some players maybe didn't fancy the last week, but it was just such a downer after the Aviva that I think that initially, maybe in the first couple of minutes, the thought of anything to some players might have seemed like a a drag. Now, I know you spoke about it in the dressing room, but I don't know. It must have been hard to refocus straight away. You must be happy enough that you got there in the end.
It was. And, like, we don't have, what's the word? We don't have a drinking culture in the club, and very seldom all season or maybe once pre-season we'd encourage it, but we don't have a drinking culture or that sort of element in the club. But we had such a good night on the Sunday night. The whole squad were up dancing and singing together, maybe, I don't know, 2:30 in the morning or whatever it was on Sunday night. And, you know, I was the one to tell them they were in on Tuesday, like, which, you know, at this time of the year, most lads are away on holidays and different bits and pieces. And the competition probably to players didn't mean as much because, you know, it was effectively a glorified friendly. But then once you get closer to the game, they switch on. And without sounding too grand, what you do is you learn more in failure than you do in winning. So the cup final was brilliant for us in one sense that it's taught us a couple of lessons. It's reaffirmed what we thought, where we need to improve. And we said about it was a strange week. It was probably the most enjoyable week we've had 6 or 7 years in the club. And we've had big moments like, you know, European weeks and that type of stuff. But it was a real, it was like a party atmosphere. So we trained, we played a five-a-side tournament, for argument's sake, and the losers had to buy something. And, you know, so it was that type of, we changed things around. We didn't pick the team before we went up to Windsor Park on the Friday, so people were guessing. And you'd fellas really good not to be in the team on the Friday because we walked into the venue and
what a class like, stadium.
Oh, it's the best stadium in the country for me.
By a stretch, like.
And actually if we could do anything down here, like you look at the Denmark game, you would just say it would be a brilliant game if it was played in that stadium. So we could do it adding that to our range of stadiums. It's a brilliant stadium. So it was a perfect storm to finish with in the end. There was a lot of good fun this week. There's a lot of obviously, there were some good boys, and we just managed a little bit different. It was more relaxed. You can't do that every week. You can't even do it, you know, mid-season as such. So we just managed a little bit different, and I think it paid off then on the pitch. And people have criticised Linfield as a result of the game the other night, but I think you're seeing us very close to our very, very best. Very best. Yes, I think you did.
The first four goals you got, you didn't even need to work. I thought you were only in second gear.
We were our very, very best. I met Pat Dolan yesterday, and someone who'd respect his opinion, he thought it was one of the best League of Ireland performances he's seen of all time. And people are disrespecting Linfield, and they didn't play well on the night, but it went against them because we were so at it. There was a couple of stages in the first 5-10 minutes where they had good possession. Obviously, Bastianieri was controlling things, but once they attacked us, we were at our very best. Duffy, I mean, his counter-attack, Kelly. I just thought we were outstanding on the night, and it was one of our best performances of the season, and it looked like us at our very, very best. Massey was brilliant on the night. Gannon was brilliant on the night. And, you know, listen, people will criticise Linfield and say we won it handy, which we did, but I thought it was one of the most perfect performances we've had in a long time. Really did.
I didn't at all, to be honest. I thought they were in sick. I thought they can play an awful lot better. What did you think of it?
I thought they looked very good on Monday. Like Linfield probably missed Lavery a bit. Like he's a very good player for them.
Yeah,
he's a great threat.
But
it was a strong Linfield side, and you know, I thought they looked pretty good. Actually, if you look at it this year, I mean, your home record's been close to perfect this year. You know, you didn't drop any. You didn't lose any games at home in the league,
and you haven't not scored in an awful long time at home.
But I did think, you know, watching Duffy at times in full flight, it was like, yeah, I mean, this is Dundalk at their best. You know, the Linfield attitude was curious. I think if you're looking at Linfield, to be really critical. I mean, how they defended a couple of the set pieces was pretty poor.
That's my point. The first four goals they got, as much as it
was, first goal was a high class counter. It was a good counter.
The first goal was a missed clearance in the box. There was obviously the goal that went over the line. There was the corner. There was Robbie Benson's goal. Even was appallingly bad defending. So I'm not kind of knocking Dundalk because I don't think you needed to be at your best, because I don't think I think the goals you were giving away, you wouldn't be giving away in the League of Ireland at all, even by Finn Harps or whatever.
But that's fine. And there's football with a difference of opinion. I thought the Duffy goal, the first one, missed clearance, but they were on the attack. And within two passes, Duffy's squaring it to Daniel Kelly. It's cleared off the line. And Georgie's there to clean it up. I thought it was a breathtaking pace. If you remember, we were 2-0 up. Daniel Kelly got in. He should have squared it. And we would have went 3-0 up. It was...
I don't think they're used to that pace, Finney, as well. Like, no, the pace you're talking about in that first goal, I don't think they deal with that week to week.
No, and to be fair, I've watched a lot of them. I watched them against Ballymena a couple of weeks ago. And the difference in the two leagues is well, what we said was that intensity, particularly in the wide area. So our four best players for me in the night were two fullbacks and the two wingers. Thought they really just dominated the pace, the attack, that, and they're not used to that. And that's where, you know, we'll discuss, I presume, the All-Ireland League, but that's where we have to challenge each other in terms of, they were challenged. If they want to compete in Europe, Linfield are they're a brilliant club off the pitch, and if they want to compete in Europe, they're going to have to deal with teams like that and learn how to deal with it. So it's a massive learning for them.
I thought your comments after the game were great, because at a time when there's a lot of negativity about Linfield, you were saying, well, we need to actually learn a lot from them. Look at the stadia they have up there. Yeah. Look at the way... And you also mentioned the match day experience. It's always interesting, because I can attest to that. If I go to game up north, they usually have a bar. They usually have more to do on the ground or whatever.
Yeah, like, obviously, Windsor's the obvious one. I mean, I went to Windsor. It was brilliant. But you go to, you know, Coleraine, you go to Larne. It is more of a match day experience. I think the 3 o'clock on a Saturday element helps. I think, you know, the sort of almost... the sort of pie and point mentality of going to a game, like there is a culture around going to games around there, so I think we can learn from them. And like going back on the pitch, I think they will. I spoke to David Healy and he was very complimentary. I'd say he learned a huge amount from that game in terms of what his players, and he probably challenges players and say that's the level you've got to get up to. We learned loads on the Friday night up there, where it felt like a European game. We had loads of the ball and we got done on a counter-attack, similar to the goal he scored against Carabag. So there was massive lessons in it. And the advantage I had was I put four people fresh into the team in those wide areas and fullbacks, and we knew they weren't used to that intensity. We just started like a train, and you can say they gave up and they hurt them, but that's what happens when you're steamrolled by teams. And... that was a good side we played against, and I think they do well in their league. I really do.
You declared the All-Ireland League over, John, afterwards.
No, I don't think it'll happen, though.
Well, on the basis of that game alone...
It's not going to happen in the time frame we're talking about.
I think there's reasons why it won't happen, but I just thought there was a bit of an overreaction to the, you know...
I think you both said it wouldn't help.
Well, I think that's fair. Vinny said it wouldn't help, but to say that Kieran Lucid's work has been rendered irrelevant or something like that in an hour and a half, like it's not really true. I think what the All-Ireland League debate, and you have to be careful of how you phrase it, because you don't want to be insulting to people north of the border. And I think there are differences that exist, possibly differences that exist in terms of ambitions. And in some respects, like, I think it's interesting to listen to Vinny talk about like the match day experience and how it can be it's better in parts of the, you know, Northern Ireland. I think there's an element in some areas of a degree of contentment with what they've got, in the sense that down here we're always analysing where our league is going in the context of you know, we need more, what is this working, where are we going? There's more sense of crisis here, whereas maybe there are clubs up north who know what they are and they're happy enough with that. But the flip side is that the altar is that Linfield and Glentoran and places like this, they want more.
That's a very interesting argument there.
Like, I think there is an element of that, you know, I think Linfield want more. And I think that the clubs who want to move towards something full time or three quarter time, which David Healy referenced, which is an interesting phrase I hadn't heard before, but three quarter time is actually what maybe a lot of clubs have operated. Maybe Dundalk was three quarter time during the early days of Stephen. That I think if you have any ambition about yourself, I think if you're involved with Linfield and then you look at Monday and go, well, that's what you need to get to. Like, you need to get to that level. And I think if you look at it, and if people look at it and say, well, oh, we have to abandon this, I think really, did they ever really want it in the first place? Anyone who look at that and go, well, we shouldn't go ahead with this on the basis of the football. Well, like what? So what? What do they? Is there, let's just stay over here, and then we'll never get found out this way. You know, like I don't think you can. And there's other stuff about chance and stuff like that. I mean,
I hope people
realize that some of the stuff like about that. I wasn't mad about some of the chance. I know if any of you've apologized for some of them, but like I wouldn't lose the head in terms of like these are differences that would be over time. They would be ironed out. So yeah, I wouldn't be giving up on the plan.
And that's my concern, and it's concern about nearly about life, right? The reaction to the result the other night, like Johnny's tweet. I presume there was hundreds and thousands of tweets similar. That's the death of it, and almost people trying to be funny and you know being smart arsed. And it's also same with the chant. It's like we just need a little bit of calmness and say right, relax. Like and even me criticizing. I didn't criticize Linfield and what they chanted or what flags they put up. Any of this because it's not my place. My place is to represent the club and say. And I said it the other night, like, I was brought up in Dublin. I called it an ivory tower, but it's far from that up in Kilnardon, right? But the point I'm making is, I didn't see the troubles, right? If you lived around the border towns of Dundalk and South Armagh, all these places, I understand it was difficult, right? So I understand people have real feelings towards each other. But it's a bloody football game. And I behaved generally. I was at Bolton, you were at Bolton. It went off peaceful. If you think about it, there's a couple of chants here and there. I made the point that you get chants at Liverpool Man United games about Hillsborough and Munich, and they've started to die down. I just think the more we play each other, then the less these chants will come out.
You wouldn't play a Celtic Rangers game if you were turned off by some things that were said.
I totally agree, in fact,
you wouldn't play a lot of games in Scotland or you know, places in the world.
I don't think that's going to be a major problem. What I would put to you is that if you were lauding Dundalk's performance, right? Yeah. So Dundalk beat a Linfield team, I think, that was missing two particularly lavery to beat them 6-0 at home, pulling up. Yeah. Linfield have resources that other clubs can't dream of up there. So I suppose my question is, the likes of Ballymena, and I know David Jeffrey's kind of been pretty negative on it in terms of European places, clubs like Coleraine, Crusaders, I don't think they looked at that and thought...
No, Crusaders are up for the All-Ireland League, John. Crusaders are trying full-time football, so they're going for it. Yeah.
So okay, let me
Ballymena, say Ballymena and Ards are the two clubs who've released statements. Ballymena...
Cliftonville as well.
Cliftonville have been negative. Ballymena, Ards are mid-table in their version of the first division. So, I mean,
So if this were to happen in 2 years' time, the gap to me, unless Linfield were completely not off a yard in horse racing terminology the other night, the gap to me would be alarming, such that I don't think any of them could be confident of a European place on the basis of Monday. You're reading too much into it.
Yeah, I don't accept that. So I accept Linfield. I believe Linfield would be right there in terms of European spaces.
Yeah.
Fact. Anyone else? I don't like the... Coleraine definitely would be. I mean, if they're pushing the infield, of course, yeah. And I've seen them and liked them.
Mm.
I don't like the term we were pulling up, okay, to win 6-0. Sometimes, and this is where commentary, and I understand it's great. The world has gone mad. Everyone has a comment on everything. And no matter what you say... there'll be negative, and you always hear negative comments. I don't accept we pulled up. I went in at half time and I lambasted our players to go again, right? I'm not trying to say I'm not a great manager. I'm the point
that's
I'm
bad
making
terminology,
is,
sorry. Yeah, you didn't win pulling up, but you won within you. Like as Robbie Benson said we could enjoy ourselves after half an hour.
Of course, but that's because of what we done and the manner in which we played. If we played Linfield over a season, over four times, we'd probably never beat them again 6-0. I just think it was a perfect night for us. And with the exception of we've had a bit of fun about it, so that's why I don't mind saying it here. With the exception of Chris Shields, I thought everyone was just so much on their game.
Man of the match,
just,
Chris Shields.
Some of his
passing was up there with that one in the President's Cup.
He made one of the best passes I've seen in the whole season out to Michael Duffy. It was just amazing. So
he was on his game.
So I just think it was a perfect performance from us. Does it hurt? Yes, of course it hurts, because then they'll say the gap is huge. If we're going to go this way, we have to investigate this All-Ireland League right to the inch of his life, because Linfield want to improve in Europe. Yeah. So therefore, I'd like to think they got something out of the game, the two games. Okay, I suppose they'd be worried about how it affects their confidence going into into the next couple of weeks in terms of being well beaten. But I think it'll improve them as a club if the manager learns from it and tries to become more like Dundalk, for argument's sake, in terms of that's what the game has gone to, speed and power and pace. And then, but we're just doing the same things and expecting different results. It's not going to happen. I actually believe that if we get it right, you're going to have certain, you're right, there is, you know, certain clubs who would struggle in All-Ireland League, and we can't have it that after three seasons, there's only one or two Northern clubs and the rest are relegated to the league below. So you'd have to put certain, you have to put certain agreements and
protection
in place. Yes, we'd have to approach UEFA and see is there some sort of way we can get away with European spots for a certain amount of time.
I think that they would be
amenable to that. I think the point is like there's a lot of valid opposition and points to raise, but some of the opposition that's been raised is absolute garbage. Yes. Like absolute and utter small time rubbish. It's not even credible stuff. Like also, but even this theory of like, well, they're all going to put them into one league now, as though there's some kind of segregation is going to exist between the leagues. That you're telling me that if Linfield aren't in the same league as Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, where they can bring players up and show them around Windsor Park and show them around the facilities, and Belfast isn't a bad place to live, in fairness, that, you know, they're not going to be able to try and sign a, okay, these are just examples, but you know, Robbie Benson I'm just saying that, like, you know, they could be a competitor because they're not able to offer full-time contracts to clubs at the moment, but if they went to players at the moment, if they could offer that, those clubs within a year would be able to compete for some of the players that, you know, that at the moment would join for the Dock and
Rovers.
But
it's not that they even can't, you're right, Dan, but it's not that they can't, Linfield can't offer full-time contracts. It's that they're not in that market at the moment.
Yeah.
So if they want to get to the next stage, they will say, well, we need to be, like Glaren are full-time to a point and Linfield are full-time to a point. But they don't, like, unless you're in that market and you're in an environment where the league is a real professional league, then Linfield are probably a better sound footing than any other club in the country in terms of the finance and in terms
and
of the structure.
Windsor Park and all that as well.
So if they say, if they have a year or two where, let's say they're third or fourth or fifth in the league, they have what it takes to go and compete with it if it's Dundalk at the time.
They'll be fine.
And that's what we need. So, they need a challenge.
Yeah,
I believe they need a challenge.
There's an interesting parallel in that the Berlin Wall came down 30 years ago, I think, this week, and they had to merge two economies that had obviously gone completely different ways, east and the west. And the Northern Irish economy versus the south is radically different now. So it could kind of pay off for the Northern teams in that if the Northern teams paid reasonably good wages, the cost of living in Belfast compared to Dublin is no comparison. Yeah, so it could work out quite interesting. But I'm just looking at the peripheral clubs that maybe were wavering. I don't think it did it any favours that Dundalk were so far ahead.
But those peripheral clubs, Johnny, don't want it anyway. This is my point. If any of those peripheral clubs looking at that for evidence, they're confirming what they already want to believe. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way that, like, I just think that's just not an argument that's realistic.
But
those clubs don't
there,
want it for their own
like,
reasons anyway.
You're making an interesting point that we shouldn't necessarily knock them for being happy with what they have up there in a way, in that they have something that's quite unique. And in fairness to the NIFL, regardless of the IFA saying strength to strength, and that's been knocked, the NIFL is in a decent enough place at the moment with crowds and social media and all that, stadia. Performances in Europe were good this year. It's in a better place than it has been. I'm just, as Vinny says, Linfield need to be challenged.
But this is a broader picture of, do you want to offer some kind of like professional football on this island? We see Waterford now coming back. Like, these are difficult times. We need to look at stuff that can make this better. I spoke to a lovely fellow involved with Cliftonville at the meeting in Dundalk now, but he'd be very negative on the league. And at one point he was saying that people say, you know, the NFL, and, you know, I feel bad saying it, but like, he did make the point that, listen, I've looked at it, you know, that actually the ratio of people who attend games in Northern Ireland versus the South is something like 0.4% versus 0.2%. It's like, well, this is bad versus bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is like, it's like two people are out last night arguing over who was more drunk. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not something to be proud about either way. So do we want to make something that's better and be open to it and to explore it? And yes, the peripheral clubs are happy in the lot, and you can't just say that you forget the smaller clubs and just eradicate them and say that's it. They can't do that. But there comes a point where people who, like, we can't make that point and then also have people sitting here in this couch and say we want to make an industry in this country. We want our kids not to be exported. We want, so on one hand, we're saying let's maintain something that will make sure that that never happens. And on the other hand, like, you have to make unpopular decisions. Like, people start talking about we need a 20-team division instead of 10. Well, that's grand, but that's the end of full-time football for your top clubs and for players having a full-time environment here. So you, there comes a stage where you have to cater for the bigger operations, and that may not be fair for everyone, but you can't have it held back. Like, it's self-interest, I think, a lot of this masquerading is for the greater good. It's people looking after their own lot. And I understand that because that's how football is operated on this island. Everyone runs their own business, and you know, I understand, and it's very emotive and it's very difficult, but you have to be open to this discussion for valid reasons. But anyway, we've gone off on a tangent. Vinny's here to talk about the Dundalk season. Vinny, could you give it a mark out of 10?
That's a good question.
A mark out of 10?
You're allowed a half.
Give yourself a player rating, or like give the club a rating for the season in terms of how you feel.
An A plus or B plus or
something. No, I'll go out of 10.
Like we sat down in pre-season and we set out some goals and we did speak about the treble. We spoke about it from pre-season. It was around the 20th of February. That was the challenge I laid out to the players. And that gave them a real focus around semi-finals of League Cups, where you can sometimes switch off, or quarter-finals, and made everyone travel to the League Cup games. And sometimes you might leave players who weren't involved. You'd leave them at home and made everyone travel. So we'd real focus on every competition we entered. So, you know, there is a disappointment in the sense of the FAI Cup. There's a disappointment there, a little bit of hurt. I don't want this taken the wrong way, but it might turn out to be that little blessing in disguise. That little bit of hunger we got back last week. It's not that we were missing hunger for the cup final, and it's not that we didn't prepare properly. It's not that we didn't do our own versions of videos and different bits and pieces. We've done a hell of a lot around the cup final. It didn't go away for various reasons. So, you know, we lose the players. The players don't lose any marks for me. I thought they... If you were giving them marks out of 10, I would say 10 out of 10. I would say some of the errors were made around the cup final. That's an obvious one. And in Europe, I thought we were unlucky with the draw. There's no doubt about it. You know, people will undervalue some of the teams we played. But we were just short. We were short of a couple. Nothing major, but we were short of a couple. But I'd say that probably lies on my door more than the players. I think we got to the inch of everything out of them. And ultimately, no matter what you say, we've entered 5 competitions this year domestically. We've lost the penalty shootout for winning all 5 of them.
So is there little things that niggle away at you? I mean, as you mentioned there, that, like, you know, if I gave you the cup final back again, I know obviously the Shields thing was a, you know, that... You can only say so much. It was a cock up, and I know there was factors around it, but it was a cock up. But just take the Shields thing out of it. If I gave you the cup final back now, is there things you would do differently?
No, I believe they was doing the right things. There was certain, like, the McElhenney injury drives me demented more than anything else, because that's the only player who walked off the pitch with a muscle injury in the whole season. We managed them very well. We've had a horrendous. We've had 3 broken metatarsals with 2, you know, broken leg, whatever. But we've never had a muscle injury on the pitch all season. That one drives me demented. We missed him. Obviously missed Chris. I think it was their time. It was a perfect moment for them. Everything went their way. They took advantage of that. And we went at our best in any way, shape or form. So, is there things I do differently now? Yes. At the time, I felt they were the right things, and you know, we didn't have John Mountain. He wasn't right. Sean Gannon had certain injuries, but I need to be careful. I don't make excuses for the cup final. We were short on the day, and they deserved it. To be fair, I still say we created the best chances in the game, but they deserved to win the cup final. I wouldn't begrudge them that, but it's been, I think it's been. I think it's been an outstanding season for the club. It's been one of the greatest seasons of all time for the club. People will will, and maybe it's the way the world has gone, but people will knock us and there's not that many good teams. And people look back with rose-tinted glasses. Remember in 2015, we played Athlone, who were very, very very poor at the time, struggling. Darren Meenan won a penalty in the 93rd minute and Richie Tell scored the penalty. But apparently we were this squashbuckling team back in 15. So I think people look back in different ways. And what I've learned is the more successful you are, the more people are willing to knock you. At the beginning, the first couple of years, it was great. It was how we were doing it. But and maybe Stephen Kenny is more likable than me. He had that character and he was able to carry the team. But now people are looking to knock us. And as I said to you, four trophies out of five, and the last one was a penalty shootout. I think the players have done all right. I think they've done quite well, to be fair to them.
With all due respect, like, you came into a job that's with resources that everyone else would want, but you were on a hiding to nothing because you're taking over from Stephen Kenny. So it's like, well, it was a bit of a lose-lose situation away. Like, even if you won the FAI Cup this season, there still will be people saying, sure, like, look at the players you had, yada, yada. So it was a difficult enough job in some ways, I suppose.
Yeah, but don't mix me saying that with being I'm not annoyed about what people say about me or what you say about the club. Or, you know, the second time you have to defend your own character, defend the group. Like, the resources we had, and I told you I do switch off sometimes. And I said it to you, like, 10 minutes in, I heard the one where, you know, Rovers and Dundalk would be the top two because of the size of their budget. I don't accept that. We hadn't got the highest budget 7 years ago. We're in the exact same position 7 years ago as Finn Harps are today. Now,
what I mean, though? Now,
no,
like,
yeah,
at the start of this season, budgets dictate. Like,
no, they don't.
They're not the most important thing.
They're not the most important thing.
How are they not?
But just clearly they're not. So we'll go back to when we were in the exact same position as Finn Harps 7 years ago. We didn't come into the league with the biggest budget. When we went through Europa League in 2016, I was part-time. Most of the players were part-time. So that wasn't about budget. Our back four of Sean Gannon, Brian Gartland, Andy Boyle, Dane Massey, Chris Shields, okay, they were available for everybody to sign. Think about it. Sean Gannon was released out Rovers and Pats. Brian Gartland was up the north and came back. Andy Boyle was on no more than €300 a week at Shelbourne, and he was on maybe €350 a week at Dundalk. And Dan Massey was out in Bray for everyone else to sign. Chris Shields, we only signed the last week of pre-season. So people make excuses, but budgets are excuses. I've never mentioned Karabag's budget, never mentioned Slovan Bratislava's budget. We're short of beating those clubs, but it's not down to budgets. You know,
they have better players than us partly because of the budget.
No, they don't have better players because of the budgets. Like Moha, who plays left wing for them, an outstanding footballer. They signed him for, to be fair, they paid, I think it was £80,000 for him, okay? But he's a Moroccan Spanish guy who's there 4 years. He scored against Besiktas last week. If he was playing for us and we're in a group stages, he'd be worth £1 million in the championship, something to buy him to see what he's doing. What we're not doing is bringing these players and we're not developing them into what they should be. Now, we need to get to Europe regularly to do that. Well, I don't
explain
accept
that, actually. Sorry, that you're not bringing these players in, like players from abroad, or is it like your own players? Or
well, it's a mixture of both. I mean, like Andy Boyle, Daryl Horgan, and in particular, the two of them around 2016 got international caps more or less on the back of that. Okay, well, that was based on what they were doing for us in Europe. Daryl Horgan, Andy's been really unlucky, in my opinion. He got into the Preston team and then the manager left. He played 10 games more or less before the end of the season. And then Alex Neil came in, I think, and didn't fancy him, which it was part of football.
That's life, yeah.
And that's life. And it's gone the other way. And Andy's back with us now. Daryl has had a great career. But what them showcasing themselves in Europe has meant that they became better players and of a higher level. What we got to do is, there's a challenge for us now to say is, do we try and win the league again next year? Do we sign three or four of the better players available? Or do we go and experiment almost and bring a couple
I'm
in?
I'm fascinated by that now. So what might that entail?
Is this potentially an insight into what your transfer strategy might be this winter? Well, that you might look overseas But what you're saying there, not necessarily for the 31-year-old veteran overseas player. Is it more the young player, like the example you mentioned, who might have a bit of improvement in them? But where do you go though?
So to go back to before I answer that, let me be very clear. I don't believe budgets dictate where you finish in the league. I just don't. I think it's a lazy option. We went to Spain this last year in the mid-season camp. We went on the Wednesday and we came back Sunday night. Okay, a lot of clubs in the league start training the following Monday morning. We've done 8 sessions, so that the budget thing can be thrown at Dundalk. Sure, you went to Spain. You have loads of money. Now we've won that money on the pitch, and players like Dane Massey would be on a good contract now. But that's because he's there.
And
what I mean about, let me just explain that is, if I was in charge of Dundalk and we'd no money, we still would have been on that Wednesday and we would have trained in Dundalk. So there's no excuse for that. And if we beat a team 2 weeks later in the 90th minute and they've given their players 10, 11, 12 days off in that break, that's not down to budgets. That's down to a drive. That's down to doing things right. And that's where I don't accept budgets being an excuse. I accept the help. I accept it's easier for me to do a video presentation in my new video room. I accept that.
I think for squad depth in a season where you play 20, you know, I know you've played 16 games and whatever many days, 48, but there's some clubs who only have a squad of 16, 17. You've been able to use 19 players across the two Santa Cup games to unite the Union Cup games. And that didn't include, say, McElhenney and Sean Murray. So, like, you have a deeper squad. That's no doubt.
And as much as I'm defending myself in terms of our club and saying budgets help, I'm saying they help. It does allow me, as you say, but we played over 55 games. So I spoke to a player a couple of weeks ago who said, you know, will I get into the team? And this is a big question. But if you play 30, 32, 33 games for a mid-season team, you're probably still going to play 32, 33 games for Dundalk anyway. So we have to have a bigger squad by the nature of what we do. It's over 55 games. So we do have to.
You've achieved that scenario by your success in Europe in 2016.
But that is the one thing that you can say.
Like, I'm not like Dundalk, I've gotten everything you deserve. But just getting back to Dan's question. I'm fascinated by this.
The recruitment that you might do this winter.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing set in stone. Okay. So I believe that England is over-scouted to the end of its life. If you were asking an example of that would be if I asked the goalkeeper or head of recruitment at a championship club, who's the goalkeeper Hibernian, he'd tell you, Livingston, Luton Town, whatever, who's it? If I said to him, who's the goalkeeper of Slovan Bratislava, he wouldn't know, I don't believe. Most of them wouldn't.
Good keeper as well.
Yeah, he's probably the best keeper I've come across in Europe in any scouting we've done, or the 36 of whatever it is games we've played in 7 years. He's outstanding. He's a Slovakian 21 international. Scored saved a penalty against Wolves last week. He is top notch. So I think championship clubs, in one sense, I'm not all of them. I don't know enough. And I'm wrong. I don't mean the word lazy, but they're focusing on that league. So it's over-scouted. So the best young players in England, Scotland, just aren't there for us. So we do have to, I believe, go further afield and try and find a player outside. Now, that's risky. That's difficult because it's not an area of expertise that anyone in Ireland has. And even in the UK, as I just said, they don't have. So it is risky, but we've got to take a chance. But at the same time, a player might come available at Hibs, you know, that we sign. And so
we're a very wealthy country in Ireland. We're very close to the British market, obviously. We play summer football and most of the teams play good football. So are we missing a trick here? You had Christian Adaran, obviously, who was a fairly exotic player, did well in the league and showed technical ability maybe that others didn't have. We are missing a trick here, are we not? I remember when Pats played Zimbru Chisnu years ago and they lost 5-0 in the first leg, and I think either Liam Buckley or Pat Dolan said, well, we're not going to get hockeyed 5-0 again ever, like basically, and then they lost the second leg 5-0 as well. And I remember looking at their players and they were so technically outrageous compared to ours.
There's lifestyle, but you were talking about the cost of living in Dublin, though, John, you know, for example.
But we'll say, so I'm intrigued by this. So what's the standard of wage in sort of the Eastern European countries where they definitely have players that be good enough playing League of Ireland?
I suppose for me, the big learning this year was that take Slovan Bratislava for argument's sake. They had their front four, so the right, we call them numbers, I don't like using numbers, but 7, 10, 11 and 9, okay? Their front four, they have a front eight. So we didn't know exactly who was playing before we played them because they're that good in them areas. I believe our front four could play for Slovan or to be definitely part of that eight. But the difference is we've got four, maybe another one coming in. We need to go up another level in that area. Okay, so if we had Slovan's front four in our squad, now, would Moha play instead of Michael Duffy? I don't know. You know, if Michael lost form, Moha would play. If Moha lost form, Michael would play. So we have to have that level in our squad if we want to get... I don't believe... And it's not that our strikers aren't good enough. I don't believe our defensively or our midfield was caught short in Europe at any stage this year.
Your midfield?
Yeah, midfield. I know we made some mistakes and some different things, but I don't believe we were caught short in the sense of structurally, I made a mistake around the Carabag game, but I don't
believe... The away game.
But in terms of, I don't believe our back four or, you know, Chris in front of them or whatever our midfield combinations are, I don't believe... That's where our big problem is. Doesn't mean we can't improve it. I believe that up the top end of the pitch, we can be better, but not necessarily that we can be better, that we need a better player than Michael Duffy, but we just need another Michael Duffy. We need, you know, another Pa Hooban. So if Pa hasn't scored, then the next striker in is... We believe Georgie's very close to that, but the point I'm making is we need to improve the quality of players in our group. And it probably needs to be a stronger squad again.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking everywhere. Honestly, I've...
Anywhere really, like... you're a long way away?
No, but, like, because we won the league so long ago, it's meant we've been able to be targeted and very calm. The window doesn't open really for these players till January, and some are in contract, out of contract. For example, you know, when you look at the market of Croatia, you go, right, really interesting. You may think that Belgium, all players, but it's ironically, Belgium's strength and depth isn't as big as people think.
They have people going to games, very few crowds at the bottom. Like
And so what we've learned, what I've learned in particular is that you take Bate Borisov, if we want to become, or an Irish club's going to, it doesn't matter who it is, I just hope one does in the net. Obviously at the moment, I hope it's Dundalk. If you want to become a Bate Borisov, I probably watched... Because we played them two seasons, maybe 15 Bate Borisov league games over a 2-year period. They play in fields in front of 400-300. Their main stadium, when you see it, is amazing. Their average crowd is about 2,500, and maybe 3,000 army men are made go to the game at night. But they're in the, you know, they're there
proper Eastern dictators.
Yeah, they're in their army uniform. They're not that big of a club. They're not that, but they cracked Europe once and they built on and cracked it twice, and they won't win the league again this year. It looks like they may not qualify into the Champions League, but to become a Bate Borisov, it's doable for an Irish club. And people would say, well, one of the things I hear is Dundalk struggle in Europe because they don't play against top teams every week. That's, for me, that's nonsense. It would be better if we played higher level teams, but it's not about that, because I've seen, you know, teams in Europe not playing against high level teams. I've seen Slovan play against teams.
Celtic beat Lazio the other day. Like, Celtic aren't exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we've got to just be a little bit calmer. I don't listen to the noise around Europe when we went out. I don't listen to it. Don't listen to the big investigations, and we're so far behind.
You must be aware of it, though.
Yeah, but of course, and it hurts because ultimately, it's funny. I went to two Rovers games in Tala as a support. I went to the Pats game in Richmond, hoping they'd win. I want to see Irish clubs do well in Europe. When Pat scored, I didn't jump up, and I hid away on the back. But Rovers, should I say, when they scored, but
would have made a good follow.
A very very loud Rovers fan let me know. Did you not celebrate that? I was delighted for them. I really was. I think
that's such a unique scenario where you're actively supporting a club who are going to progress a lot financially by winning the game. But I completely get where you're coming
from. No, but we have to back ourselves, and this is the problem. And listen, and Dan will probably give me a dirty look, but I'm not going to open a tangent. But 12 months ago, the whole Irish football has changed in what was 12 months ago. And the problem is, you look at, say, the soccer writers or the PFAI awards, you know, you think of the soccer writers. There's so many intelligent, loving people who love the game of League of Ireland, right? The problem is, there's people sitting on, say, table number 12 who don't like table 9 because Dundalk. And back in 93, the old Dundalk chairman left him short of 50 quid and he'd do everything and he's going to slag. We have to get away from that. Like Rovers are our biggest rivals. I went down my way to make sure Noel Bourne, Jonathan Roach and Mark Lynch wished them well and I hoped he enjoyed the couple of days. Okay? Now, why did they do that? I've done that because I know how hard they've worked to get Tallaght where it is, where the stadium, what they put into the club, how hard they work in the community. Do I want the Rovers getting better? No, I don't. I want us to stay ahead of them and all of that. And the rival will come and they'll dislike me some days and I'll dislike them. But if we're going to improve the league, we have to start working together. And the fella on table 12 has to get over himself and forget that Dundalk chairman probably left him short of 50 quid 12 years ago. And just get on with the bloody thing and start improving our league together. And you're starting to see that a little bit because you're starting to see the, you know, Noel Bourne, Martin Connolly working together in terms of improving the league. And there's guys at Pat's heavily involved with it. And we're starting to see that. But, you know, I'm sure certain clubs or certain people at the PFAI Awards, when I picked up the award, were throwing their eyes to heaven and complaining about this and that. We just need to stop, just need to stop, get on with it. And genuinely, like, what an experience going to Tallaght is. The night we beat them 1-0 up there, still my favourite moment in football for loads of different reasons. But
Sean Gannon's goal
that night, I felt for loads of reasons, connection with our own supporters.
You're from Killarney,
I'm from up the road. I got a little bit of stick, but even the stick I got, it does,
like, adds to it.
It adds to it. That's and going back to Dundalk against Linfield, we need that thing. Like we need, hatred is the wrong word, but we definitely need rivalry. I don't mind it, but at the same time, under it, the people that care about the game, the people in the room with the PFAI or the soccer, right? You think about who's going to be in that room. They could fix it very quickly if they all actually hid their own egos, got rid of their own sort of grievances with other clubs and actually start working together. And I think you're starting to see that people, like, to be fair to the PFAI, have started to get a louder voice. And once they use that correctly and don't try and, you know, no one needs to make a hero of themselves of next year, all work together, I think we've got something that could work. And I hope it's in conjunction with the North, because I think that challenge would mean that there could be an industry here.
Ah, definitely. Yeah. You mentioned Tallaght as well, and I mean this in the nice possible way. You talk to a player from Eastern Europe, and he's like, yeah, I love what you're saying. You bring him over, you bring him to Oriel.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and to be fair to our current owners is that they get a lot of stick. Oriel Park is not good enough at the moment. And sometimes, as I said to you, sometimes I feel like it's only right that we defend Dundalk. The owners are in this November in the club 2 years. Okay, when they first took over, we had just lost the league and the cup to Cork. Except when Stephen needed some support and he gave it to us. We won the league and the cup back. If we're going to attract players, first and foremost, we have to have a better working environment for them. They have that now. We've players who've been at lower end championship clubs or Scotland, League One clubs, and they say our training facilities are better. Okay. So we've a full-time kit man. We've been building the club. The problem for Dundalk is what happened in the last 7 years means we have to build the club from the top down. Okay, so that makes it more difficult. To be fair to Rovers, they're doing a great job. They're building from not the bottom up, but they're certainly building their structures the other way. So I would say give our club a little bit of time. Give them a little bit of respect. I think every other club could do with owners like the ones in Dundalk. They've put their money where their mouth is. They've supported the team. I think you'll start to see some changes.
In what regard? Oriel?
I think Oriel is definitely... They accept it needs to improve.
Will there be a change in the surface, or will that be...
Yeah, it's part of a bigger discussion. As I said, things take time. And
have
I
you
understand.
Any preference on that, actually?
Yeah, well, we prefer grass. Mm. I think we prefer that. It's always been a stick. I mean, look, again, not defending the club, but when 8 years ago, when teams were coming up winning 7-0 in Orient Park, it wasn't a problem. Now it's a problem.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
You know, with all due respect, but
could it be a grass pitch next season?
No, I don't think next season. Some stage next season, maybe, but it's not as easy as that. We're in summer football and when you lay stuff and all that stuff. But it's being investigated. Like, it's not something that, you know, it's not that there's no one sitting around discussing this. We've asked for tenders. We've discussed it. How are we going to manage it? Whether it's this year or the start of the following year, but it's part of discussions. This stuff is going on, and ultimately we'll make whatever's right from a business point of view and a football point of view. Where Oriel Park, where Dundalk, and forget who owns the club for a second, have to be given a bit of leeway is, like, and I've complimented Rovers in terms of those people I mentioned, but ultimately whether they like it or not, the county council spent just over $2.5 million for that stand at the back of the goal alone without all the other stuff. And they're probably going to spend even more on the other end.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing facility, all of that stuff. Ironically, the council is generally run by Sinn Féin. It's interesting. They're willing to pump that money into a ground which is quite often not full. Right? So it's interesting.
It's had a great year, Tala.
Yeah, and it's a brilliant facility. And I'm from that area. I love seeing people walking out of the area, Springfield, all that stuff, walking down to the game. But remember, that county council, there's over 300,000 people living in Tala. There's only 40,000 living in the dock. So the finances are massive.
You're not going to get the council.
When you look at Derry, the council,
when you
look at what's happening in Dalymount, when you look at Cork, the main people who could put their hand up and say, hey, we've been fair with our money at Sligo. Outside of that, very few other clubs, you know, it's not a level playing field at the moment. So I went over last week to a course run, but in Fingal for a TY year, 17-year-olds, full-time footballers for the year TY. So brilliant course. And I won't go into too much detail about it. But again, Fingal County Councillor, I spoke to the head of the County Council. They've done so many surveys. They think they're saving so much money investing. They've two FEI coaches. The guys get strength and conditioning, all of that stuff. And we will bring that proposal to Dundalk County Council. But remember, to be fair to them, it's such a small council. We've 40,000 people living in Dundalk. Mm. So we're backs against the wall in that sense. So
I know that
Oriel has to improve. I think it will. There has been some minor changes, but I think we're on a good path.
But I suppose ultimately for the American owners, it's not really in their business model to put a load of money into Oriel, because it's not, and they'd probably admit that themselves. That's not kind of why they're there. So it's kind of watching the game the other night, it was, I don't know why, was it necessarily to do with the stadium, but in the second half, a load of the Linfield fans were way over to one side of that away section, and I presume it was because they literally couldn't actually see the ball if they stood in the main section, because Linfield were attacking the other end. And it looked, and Dan has made the point about the good goals that would look better in Michael Duffy's goal.
I got a message after the cup final on Twitter. I think it was from a dog fan who was like, hope you enjoyed that Duffy goal with your backdrop. And I was like, people are the wrong ways of lashing out.
Yeah, but and that's fair. But at the same time, like, again, you mentioned Waterford, like, it's a council basically ground. Like, for me, the best goal of the season is Jordan Flores' goal down there, right? It was an amazing goal, but doesn't look anything because of
It's true.
A running track around it.
Yeah,
so
it's true. Yeah.
We accept that. I'm just saying, you've said the Dundalk, the owner's business model, but I'm not sure you and I mean this in I'm not having a go. Trust me, there's a few things I'll have a go at you about, but that won't be one, right?
Yeah, you're out of here now.
Yeah, so. I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, we don't know what the plan is. It's not like people think they're here to make money. They're not. They actually believe in the club.
They
believe in the
money,
small
though,
town. No, not they're not here to make money. Because,
but is that not the
easier
whole P6 operative? Like,
no. And I'm not going to speak on their behalf, but I'm just saying they love the community element of Dundalk. There's bigger and better clubs they could have bought with less hassle, with less criticism coming their way. I think you'll find that they're in this club for the right reasons. And it's not me speaking about them because they employ me. I'm honest enough fella to tell you the truth, or else I wouldn't address the subject. They're in it for the right reasons. Have they made some mistakes? Yes. Of course, we've all made mistakes. But I think they're in it for the right reasons. I think the more owners like Peak Six we have in this league, and I think it'd be a better league.
I am a bit curious about sort of the off the field operation. I mean, when the Pat Hooban contract was announced, you mentioned, I think it was mentioned in the press release, that that Bill Hulsizer had played a big role in it, who was the father of Matt, who was the founder of Peak Six. And this is sort of a bit of an unusual one, in the sense that when the Peak Six takeover happened, and it's obviously people Google this company, and you know, Mike Tracy obviously works for Peak Six. I know he has the stake as well, but like people who are involved with the project, there's a sense that they're being assigned to it, but that maybe Matt Hulsizer, the owner, wouldn't necessarily, it'd be very hands off. You know, it's something that his employees would look after as such, and this is just one speck in their world. And now you have his father involved, so clearly there's an involvement there, which I don't think people anticipate at the start. But can you tell me how that has come about, or what's happened there?
Well, I suppose 2 years is a long time in life and business. So who was announced at the start and all that stuff, everything changes. But Bill is somebody who, yes, he's Matt's father. Matt has an interest in the club. He'll watch our games. If we're playing on a Friday night, we'll have a stream going straight back. They'll be in an office. The Peak Six offices will have the game on a big screen. So they've a real interest in it. It's not that this is just some investment over in Ireland. And his father has a real love for the town, real love for the club. He's someone I've got to know over the last 6 months. He's become more and more around the club. Did he help in the Pat? Of course he helped in the Pat Hooban contract. But ultimately, them decisions, myself and Mike Tracy, we're the two who ultimately make them decisions. We run everything by back in through the whole board, but at the same time, myself and Mike would make them decisions. That was Bill was there for some of the final touches, but myself and Mike's very important. Myself and Mike talk to each other every day in terms of even for next season, who we're going to sign, what we're going to sign. So the owners, Big Six, the owners, I've probably got more hands-on this year than they were definitely the previous years. But I can only say to you, and for someone who loves Irish football, and as I said, it's right in my blood. Everything, I want everything good for. I don't mind Rovers being brilliant. I don't mind Pats being brilliant, Cork being brilliant. Obviously, I want us to be better than them. I'm telling you, these people are in the club for the right reasons. It's definitely not to make money, because you don't generally make money out of Irish football.
I guess their plan was to get to the Champions League or Europa League group stages if possible.
Yeah, of course. But it's my plan as well. Mm. I want to work with a club that want to get to the group stages. So, like, Bill is involved. He's been here for the last 8 or 9 days. Some small things and some big things. Like, he's met all of our sponsors. He's like, so there's a connection. It's not a coldness in terms of, we're over here in America and you run the club yourself. So does that connection, does that family feel about the club that we need to get back? Mm. Sort of part of my job as well now going forward. But I think Bill does that. And then he's a very intelligent man. He's run his own business for a long time, and he's someone that actually I've asked for some advice. But ultimately, Mike Tracy's chairman, myself, we'll decide what we're doing.
Are you happy with the freedom that you have to do your job? I mean, in the sense that, I mean, there's been off the field stuff that the CEO has now left. There's been people involved with recruitment. And are you happy enough that like you have the freedom to I suppose, you know, pick your own squad? Like, you know, you will lead recruitment this winter.
Like, yes, 100%. And it's never been any different. Never. I've never felt. I had to sign a player. I've never felt anything like that, any way, shape, or form.
David Myler story, was that true? There was a story that you could have signed him and you were like, this isn't, you know.
No, like, as I said, the world's gone mad. No.
Yeah, there is a story for everything.
David Myler was someone who was, as part of a list, like, we can do
Which
it now on our phone.
Like, yeah.
Out of contract players, I can give you a list of 10 of them now. And there is people who share that list with me, but no one will sign for Dundalk unless myself and Mike Tracy approve of it.
Right.
And that's just fact. And but at the same time, in the next couple of months, I've got to take a couple of risks, and
What's that going to entail, Vinny, now, in terms of players leaving as well? Who's going to be... Obviously, Robbie Benson today was confirmed.
Yeah, Robbie's confirmed.
Who else is leaving? Or?
The only other one who's out of contract at the moment would be Jamie McGrath and Dean Jarvis. Stephen Folan has decided to move on. Other than that, the squad is settled. Like, everyone is under contract.
Cameron Dumigan
is under contract. So, again...
Flores under contract for next year.
Yeah, so actually what we're trying to do now is, and this is why people need to, and people will say, well, that's money. It's not. It's nothing got to do with money. It's got to do with the stability of the club. We're looking at a couple of lads who have one-year contracts, even one or two players might have 2 years left. We're going to sit down with them in January and extend their contracts. And if we feel they're an asset to the club, we'll extend their contract. Some players will want that, some players won't. The stability of the club. So,
because you've had some very good players who probably will feel that they could have played more, which is you can only play 11 players, and I imagine one or two of them will want to move because just they'll want to play football like anyone, I suppose.
But see, I don't see it like that. Okay. Like I've seen players leave us. One or two players left last year. I spoke to them. I'd always be close to players. I spoke to them. They left because they didn't play loads, and they'd come back in a heartbeat. The grass isn't green on the other side of you. You know, there's an argument whether playing 25, 30 games from the dock is better than playing 25, 30, 31 games for somebody else.
Mm.
So that's the argument they have to have.
When you say risk, though, are you mean more talking about, not so much using the phrase of pushing the boat out, but actually taking a chance on some overseas players and seeing how they get in, because there's always that slight unknown about the overseas.
Yeah, well, my first port of call is what's available in Ireland? Because we know them. Are they good enough? Can they improve us? Do they go into our starting 11? And we'll shop in this market as best we can. The challenge here is, and again, I keep saying it, I've spoken to two players this year from Ireland, both of them being offered more money by League of Ireland clubs. That's fact. I believe there's a value to an Irish
League
player.
League of Ireland clubs or League of Ireland club?
Clubs. Okay. You know, there's one player in particular was offered more money by three other clubs. So, what do I do? Go into a bidding war? I don't see the sense in that. I think there's value in coming to our club. I think
a lot of people find that staggering, actually.
Yeah, and I know they will, and it's factual. Like, and I don't throw out lazy comments for what you said. People will. I'm not throwing out a lazy comment. It's factual.
Mm.
There was one player offered more money by three other clubs. Okay. You know, I signed Daniel Kelly last year, and in his typical rings end wit, he came to me, how in the name of Jesus have I got offered less money at Dundalk than two other clubs? Well, I pulled him last week and says, no, you know, was it worth it? And he accepted it. As Daniel continues to grow, for argument's sake, we'll see him as a value and asset to the club. His wages will improve.
Mm.
We don't just hand out mad money. We don't just hand out contracts to anybody. You've got to earn it.
Where do you go after Ireland then anyway?
The whole world is available now. Mm. Now, within reason, passports and different bits and pieces. As I said to you, the Croatian market, Slovakia market, the French market, we're all
French
over the
market.
French market, we're all
How
over.
How far up can you go to make it realistic?
French market is deep, though, isn't it?
It is deep. The world,
a lot of African players as well and so forth.
Yeah, and again, sometimes the challenge will be with passports and different bits, and can you get work visas? There is no ceiling, or there's no, like... And we're only looking for a couple of players. We have to slowly build this.
Bear in mind as well, in theory, Britain should be out of the EU by the time the next season starts, in theory.
Well,
so at least being in the EU is not necessarily a bad thing for people.
I don't think anyone's going to make any plans on that basis, John.
And I need to be careful here, because we're a long way off someone like Basel. But when you look at Basel's squad, and I spoke to their president about this, believe it or not, I asked him a couple of questions. Probably 14, 15 of their squad are from outside of the country. Okay.
And Dundalk have one or two.
Yeah. And by the way, we won't be anywhere near that next few years, no matter what happens. I'm not talking about, you know, in 3 years' time, half of Dundalk squad's based out of Ireland. It just won't work. We've got to slowly build. And if there's a player good enough in Ireland, we go after him. We slowly build. But I believe that we need to take a couple of risks. Mm-hmm. Like, so if we, and when I say risk, I'm not going to sign anyone off YouTube or you know, I have hundreds of agents. I get emails every single day through LinkedIn, through WhatsApp, of videos of players. It's just, I don't even open them. No interest in it. But we're very targeted what we're doing. We're going after certain positions, certain players, and it's worth the risk. Like, we have to find that Moha player or that Holman or Spora.
They are there.
That comes in and makes us better, makes the squad better. And I think the knock-on effect of the league will be that obviously if we've got 20, 22 players, if we have three or four of them, then three or four of our other players are moving down the league, and I think the league will naturally improve. But it's a long way off. We're only at the early stages, and we're not reinventing the wheel or anything like that. We're not going to bring in five foreigners all of a sudden. Mm. But we're shopping in a different market because the value in this country may not be there for us at the moment.
Just finally, Stephen O'Donnell obviously left. Robbie Benson's going to St. Patrick's, and how much of how do you fancy them to get on next season as a club in general? Will there be anyone to challenge Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers?
I think for me, the job that Declan has done in Derry has been remarkable. Done a really, really strong job. I think they're the next best to challenge. And I don't know what Pat, there's a serious turnover in what Pats have done. There seems to be a serious turnover.
Do you think he'd be as ruthless as he's been in terms of players being gone? 8 or 10.
Yeah, well, I suppose they weren't his players, so therefore, yeah, it was inevitable. It's very hard to know. I don't know what their squad makeup is. When you see what's left and what's, there seems to be the impression that three or four of the players under contract are allowed to leave as well. So until we know the makeup of the squad, it's hard to know where they're going. As I said, we just don't know. That 7 years ago, in the exact same position as Finn Harps, and we finished second the following year. It's up to anyone else to do the same thing. Mm. There's always a springer, and there's always someone that comes and challenges you. Honestly, it's very, very difficult to say. Pats have if they're going to make that amount of changes, it could work, or else they have a real rebuilding job to be done. It's hard to know.
You're not one of the Stags this week, are you? It was Stephen Folan Stag, and there's a Dane Massey Stag, I think, as well.
Yeah, there's two Stags this week. So, to be honest with you, listen, I really encourage them on these Stags. Like,
I saw pictures the other day, I should say, someone on social media was it Robbie Benson's goodbye? The guy, David Martin, who sang Nassan Dorma, was like singing Time to Say Goodbye, I think, at Robbie Benson. Nah. So you had a bit of a blowout of some kind on Monday. But you encourage the players to head off now. And
I think you need to enjoy yourself. And that's been our problem. We won the league on a Monday night. And then four days later, we played a semi-final in FAI Cup. We finished our season on another Monday night. So we haven't had that sort of moment or whatever. So I actually hope the within reason go bananas over the next week.
Are you
week.
Going on Stag?
No, I'm not going.
Can't really be mixing with players that much, I think.
No, we never did anyway, to be fair. But
go to a wedding maybe or something.
You always end up at the wedding and see what happens. But I think...
Just to be clear, four and all players are arrested in Amsterdam. This clip of Vinny endorsing them to go a mile would be edited accordingly.
Never happened.
So what I did was... I didn't do this, but what put me mind at ease was Stephen Folan Stags has people like Hooban, McElhenney, Duffy, Jarvis, Sean Murray, and Flores are on it. So it's like,
so where are they going?
They're going to Benidorm.
Right, okay.
Benidorm.
Right. Oh. So I'm like, okay, or Belmedina, whatever, one of those parts of the world, right? So I'm like, that's grand. I didn't really want them in Amsterdam. And then the people like Brian Gartland.
Let him finish his point here, John.
Brian Gartland, Dane Massey, that sort of more sensible crew are in Amsterdam.
Right? What are you saying around about the lads in Benidorm? They're not an Amsterdam type stag.
No, they're when they get together, like Michael Duffy could be, at the moment, he's probably got a coffee machine on his head or something. He's liable to do anything. So I'd rather he's doing that where... In a country like that where, no, I wouldn't say it's acceptable, but part of party town. And I'd rather Dane and Brian Gartland will be very...
Can tell you anything grows in Amsterdam, Vinny.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about coffee machine mightn't be the worst thing you've ever seen.
It might be
do.
In a cafe.
So, no, don't fear that. That's okay. So, I'm not worried about
he's
that. Part
he's not in Amsterdam at the moment. Michael Duffy is not listening to us wherever he is.
Yeah, so I imagine Michael, Pat Hooban, they've probably... The difference is, if they're tying themselves to bed, it's to do something, shave.
We're going to have to leave you there, Vinny.
That's why they're better off not in Amsterdam.
Vinny, thanks a million for coming in.
We're happy in again, Vinny.
Yeah, have a great off season, and sure, we'll see you in 2020 as well.
Yeah, look forward to it. And
you're going to listen to the show back or cut off after 10
minutes? What was your favourite prediction of the year, Vinny?
No.
Favourite prediction of the year?
I think we need...
I'm trying to think about the dog head on me here that... the event people who still ask for Johnny Ward every time they see me.
Nobody mentions I predicted Rovers to win the cup, but anyway.
Yeah, big shout.
Yeah, big absolutely. Shout. It was a big shout. I'm in favour of these podcasts. I'm in favour of us promoting the league as best we can.
The hardest
part for me is to ignore the noise of it all and different things like that. Honestly, it is hard. But at the same time, the more people are talking about our game, the better, isn't it? True. And I won't hold you up. I know yous are running late, but like when you think about this league, like look what Jack Bourne has done. He should be on every billboard poster, particularly around Tala. You look, we've got then people like Dets are leaving, Dean Delaney in goal. That Shelbourne coming back into the league. I think it's brilliant the improvement that people have made down there. I think we don't give ourselves the credit we deserve. I went into it, see Leinster train. And you know what? Well, they're European champions. To do all of the right stuff, it was an amazing experience. We actually, in Dundalk, trained similar to Leinster. It's not very, very little. Even the same field companies we use. So we don't give ourselves the credit we deserve. We don't give our players the credit they deserve. We've got some special people around the league. And I just think it's too easy to be negative all the time. It's too easy for smart-ass comments on social media, whatever, knocking each other. Just we're very close to cracking this league. I'm telling you, I think we are. And maybe somebody doing another European run would take it the next stage, or else someone like Jack Bourne becoming a star in the Irish team or whoever the next one is. I think we'll crack it.
Couldn't agree more, and you'll enjoy Jack starting against New Zealand tomorrow night, and hopefully that goes well for the Shamrock Rovers midfielder. Vinny, thanks a million.
The only worry is, you know, please God, when or if that the stadium comes on board, that we would love to be in the Premier Division, but as a sense at the moment, like we would be, you know, favourites by a long, long way to go straight back down. And,
you are a very negative man, Ollie. Like, you're always like this. Are you that bad in the dressing room? I have a good story about Ollie Horgan. So they overcame Limerick somehow in the playoff, and Limerick were big favourites, and all the boys are mad going, celebrating in the dressing room, all the you know, music to beat the band. And Ollie says to them, lads, you may as well enjoy this because you're going straight back down. Was that actually true?
I said, oh, are you in the changing room?
But are you that negative in the dressing room?
No, don't get me wrong. No. To be fair, no. We've some great days, some very positive days. But, you know, the reality, there's no point in me saying, yeah, we'll go on, we'll get to Europe. Like, we might get to Lourdes, Johnny.
Can you bring me with you? We're now joined by the best number 10 in the league and Danny Mandrew as well. You're going to keep Ward. You're going to have to be honest here. You hate this lad's guts because he basically took your place. And I don't even know what you're even doing here tonight. This is an awards night. Did you even play this season?
I took my position, but I'm here to celebrate. We had a great season there. He looks great. He always looks great.
He does look great,
look great. Nah, it's good night. It's just came in the door, so it's nice to see everyone. And hopefully this man gets an award tonight.
Yeah, that was one of the many PFAI award clips that were done with myself, Shane Dawson, and Super Subs.
You are a red carpet sensation, John. Oh. I have to say, I'm just thinking this could be something for you to develop in the years. I don't want to just see Johnny Ward at the sort of PFAI awards. I want you. What's that sort of no mark Irish one? Is it the IFTAs or something?
Yeah,
it's just around the same people who are in the same three or four shows.
Yeah,
to get an awards or something. Or
yeah,
or that's the journalism
that's,
awards.
That's, ultimately, the League of Ireland is just a stepping stone for me, really.
there's already a Johnny Ward in the celebrity world, of course.
We did speak to David Parkhouse as well, and this was one of the more unique interviews of the night. He spoke to LOI Weekly after the dinner.
So we're coming towards the end of the PFAI Player of the Year Awards, and I'm here with one of the strikers, the only Derry player on the team of the year, and he's with his girlfriend here, Anna or Annie?
Annie.
Anna was your ex?
No, I was only joking about that.
All right, so this is Annie, and you met her last Christmas in Derry.
In Derry, last Christmas, yep.
How did it happen?
She was actually bugging me in the line, if I'm being honest. We were queuing up to go into a club called Sandino's, and her and her friends was behind me, and I got a few nips from behind.
And who was that from?
Well, I think it was from her.
I should bloody well hope so.
I know she would, or else she wouldn't be here tonight. But no, it's paid off for me.
And I will say, I will say one thing. When I see the Derry lads here with their misses, they're always doing very well. Like, you know, in fairness, like, David, you've had an amazing season. You came back to League of Ireland. I watched you in Daly Mount earlier on the season. You were up front on your own. I thought, this kid has an awful lot to learn. I didn't think you had a great game. And next thing, I watched you again, and your progress was amazing.
Oh, well, look, I was asked to do a very big role from early on the season. Bearing in mind, I never thought that would get them any chances as I did. But to play up front on your own in the League of Ireland, that's very tough. But in a way, it suits me, because sometimes I like playing up front on my own because I can control everything, but then it's whether or not the players behind me can help me out then. And obviously, they worked as hard as they could as well, and I'm not going to doubt them, and I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the players as well.
I suppose in many games, like, they're in defensive mode and then the ball's up top to you, you look back and they're trying to rush to actually get up to you because they're under pressure.
Well, it's a very athletic game for us, and as a club, we like to play and as an attacking sense. We're not defensive minded, we're attacking minded, and we want to get our fullbacks on, and we want to get our defenders high up the pitch as well to keep them compact up the pitch and create as much chances as we can. But as you know yourself, the way the games play out at times, it's back and forth, and obviously that's how you bank on teams making mistakes and players being in a position. But look, if you were to give the position that we got to now this year at the start of the season, you would have put your hand off for it. Like,
absolutely great season for you from the position you were in. You're in Europe next season, and you know, I was up at the game against St. Patrick's, the Bows and the Brandywell. I'd say it's special to be from Derry, and most of you are to be playing there.
100%. Look, it's a young group. Obviously, we can top up on some of the experiences, but our athleticism and enthusiasm got us through the year. And a couple of more new additions for next season, I'm no doubt that the club's going to be in a good place.
What about the boy Decky as well in Dearsville?
Top men. Couldn't thank them
proper
enough.
Derry men.
Like. Proper Derry men. They're hardcore Derry men. They're both from Craigan area, and that's where the Brandywell is. The Brandywell's on the bog, and it's classified as a Craigan area as well. And the bog and Craigans both had its tough times in the past years, and that's one thing that Declan Davis has always reiterated this throughout the years, that Derry, not only Craigan on the bog side, Derry's had its tough times in the years, and everything that any Derry person's had to do in the years, they've had to work for everything, even in the troubles and everything that's gone on. Everybody's had to work for what they have, and even to know there's people, even the fans, you look at the fans, and there's fans come to Derry matches and they're in their bare bones with money, but they want to go because there's pride in the city. I would like to think we've given back what Derry City's all about, and hopefully what we've done this year is on the right roads to taking Derry back the way it was whenever the likes of Dickie was around the team, assistant manager, and Dearsville was playing, and especially the team as well that won the treble. It was a magnificent side, and obviously that's where we want to be again. It's a bit hard to say, oh, we want to be the team that wants a treble, but we just want to be the team that has success and we can give back to the fans and just put pride and happiness and give the city something they look forward to on a Friday night or a Monday or whenever the match is during the week.
Amazing words, and I do always like talk to people about the Derry production line, the players that have come through, and one player I want to mention is Ryan McBride. When I was there that night against St. Patrick's, I went to the bar that he used to work in, and I saw in the little Subudio bar him and Mark Farron on the wall, and it's hard not to get emotional about, I suppose, what you've gone through with these players.
See, even now you're speaking about it, like you're falling up with a bit of sadness, and I know obviously people outside Derry know about it, but everybody inside Derry knows how much the two men meant to the club, because they meant everything to their club. And my uncle Stephen Parkhouse, he played with the both of them.
He's your uncle. He's my uncle. I knew there was some link.
He's my uncle, my godfather.
You're a far better player than him now, in fairness.
He couldn't run.
And you can at least do that, like.
At least I. But no, look, he had the privilege to play with him and I had the privilege to watch him. And having Ryan McBride at the back for Derry City, it was, you know yourself, like, he would have ran through a brick wall, and he was a brick wall himself. He never let nobody pass him. Like, you look back and see the clips, and even the recent clips, the tackle he put on whenever
against
he was
City.
Cork City, absolutely wiped two men out, and then you see
that's
the
actually goals. After Watershed, it's not normally shown before 9 o'clock anywhere because it was that like dangerous.
Well,
that's the football we used to love. Yeah,
no, I know that, and obviously the game's going in a different direction now. Like, there's a lot more
technical and whatever.
Technical and...
Because you're an all-style centre forward.
No, I'm...
Isn't he an all-style centre forward? The missus don't know.
She doesn't know. But no, look, I'm a young player, but obviously my games, I know it's going to centre forward, and I know what it takes, and I know what I have to do to live up to them expectations. And as we said again, the game's more technical, and obviously there's stuff that I would do, and as you've seen, that you would get away with years ago, and I like a bit of hustle and bustle, and I like getting...
The game is better for that.
I like getting rough with defenders and players, and you know, like...
And the defenders like that as well.
No, I know, and it makes the game, and it makes... Obviously, like you see a fan chasing a centre-half down, and or a full-back down from them trying to play out, and I give them the shoulder, and the whole crowd gets on their feet, and that's not what it's about. It's just, look, as we said, I'm almost goal centre-forward.
And what age are you?
I've just turned 20 there a couple of weeks ago. I've been 19 all season.
The big question for you is, like, you know, I was watching Sheffield United today, and... had a big VAR controversy, and like obviously that you know, and we can talk about that another day, but where are you next season? Because you could obviously go back to England, or you could probably play in Europe for your hometown club.
No, look, again, as it has been this year, I've been an absolute honour to play for the club again, but as it stands for a minute, I'm just taking it easy now, because I've played football for a year and a half without a break. I've sacrificed my summer break from England season to play in the League of Ireland, which didn't bore me one bit, because I'm not hungry and not determined to get what I want, and I'll do anything I can to get it. Although it was tough because of the way the league works and the way it's a quick turnaround, but as it stands now, I'm taking a bit of a break, obviously, from the Fun Hearts game to now, but obviously I've been starting back training and that. But look, I'm back in England. I've gone international now next week, and then I'm back in England then a week after we come back. And then all I can say is that's where it goes from here. I'm leaving all those terms to the club and to the right people that need to talk about it, and whenever something important comes up, I'll be involved. But as it stands for now, wherever I'm going to get a chance and wherever I'm going to get games and goals, well, obviously that's my game, and I want to get goals, but the team helps out that as well. But look, wherever I'm going to get a chance, I'll be happy to be, and I'll do everything I can to stay there.
I got to give a mention to Daniel McDonald, the co-host of this podcast, who backed Patrick Hogan to be top scorer this season, but he backed you as a saver at 50-1, and he was going into the last game of the season. He thinks, like, if Hogan don't get it, at least Parkhouse will get it. And then this upstart, this lad that we've never heard of, we can't, like, properly pronounce his surname, so we call him Junior.
Who's that?
What happened? What happened?
I gave him the goals.
Yeah.
No, look. Junior's a brilliant player.
He's a quality player.
And he's in the exact same position as me. And
is he a good lad?
No, top man. Like, and that's one thing I can say about everybody in the team and there, even the staff, that they're down to earth people. And there's nobody in the team that no one gets along with. And there's nobody, you get sometimes in teams where everybody has their groups and that, but nobody.
No cliques.
No. There's one clique in the club, and that's the whole team and staff. But Junior's a top man. He's a brilliant person. He always look out for you, and he's a top football player.
The top's goal for Romania.
No, but for the league, I know.
So you got the overall. You wanted to mention this. Overall, you got actually more goals.
Overall,
Final question. What do you do with her if you go back to Sheffield? Like, I mean, you have to be loyal to the girlfriend. Like, I mean, that must be foremost of your mind at this stage.
I've no doubt. Look, I'm going to go to England, do what I have to do, and she's going to stay here and do her studies and do what she has to do. And then whenever the right time comes around, we'll speak about what we're going to do. But for the meantime now, everything's as it stands.
Any word on that?
No comment.
I think that is the first time we've actually had proper relationship advice on League of Ireland Weekly. It's been great.
Asking the wrong person.
It's been great to chat to you, though. And, you know, it was great to watch Derry City this season, see the Brandywell rocking again.
100%. Look, as I said at the start, look, whenever Dickie came in, he always says there were four players in the books, and his ultimate goal, never mind. His ultimate goal to the public was to get the Brandywell back to the place that it's at now. Red and White Army, till I die. But no, and obviously, but his heart, he knew what the players could do. So, and his goal was obviously to get European football. But look, he said this after the last game. It's the first thing he said. This, he was all, look, well done, lads, for the season. But we're better. We're better than that. We can push on. We've got Europe, and we're lucky to get Europe. Testimonial to the players and the staff. But he knows he's more honest. more honest, and I've known Dickie since I was a kid, because obviously up at Club NI and that, and Dickie's always been someone that's been close to home as well as the club, but he knows what he wants, and he knows what he's doing as well. Not just him, I know, obviously.
And Dierzo. You must mention the boy McCord as well.
That's what I mean. I know all the talk goes on to Dickie, and he always says about it's just the staff as well, but it's not one person that makes it happen. It's a group that makes it happen. It's just like a football match. It's not one player, does it? It's the whole team. Dickie, Dierzo, Paddy, Marty McCann, and goalkeeping coach Dickie as well. But it takes all of them to do it, and they've done well this year, and I can only wish them the best for the upcoming years.
We only wanted to see you back here in the League of Ireland next year. We only want to see her as well, to be fair. And thanks for
just her then.
No, just her actually.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. She'll be here.
Thanks for your time, big man.
No problem.
Parky, what a character.
Great stuff. Always nice to, good to have his other half interviewed briefly. Yeah. In the piece as well. You're offering a bit of relationship advice there almost, which is another string to your bow.
I'm not sure about Parky. I think he could have spoke a bit in more, I don't know, euphemistic.
He's probably been media trained, like, we'll sort it all out. I always like when footballers apply football terminology to real life situations, as though, you know, how are things going with the relationship? Well, you know, we're just going to take it each day as it comes, you know, and see what happens. You know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, and we're going to see if we can make it to the end of the year. You can go from there. It's always good to have those words applied to it. But we're going to miss that now, because our season is at an end, John.
Kind of hit me the other day, because as a freelance journalist, I do this and I do the League of Ireland column and the Racing Post. They're two things that are just gone now till whatever, mid-February or something. Mm. And that's a long time. It is
a long off-season. You never know. If something mad happens over the winter, we might be sort of triggered back into action. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think, we're not going to go into this now, but obviously the All-Ireland thing, it's going to be slow, whatever happens. It's not going to be a big announcement or something happening. In fact, our next target is towards the end of December. Noel Mooney, I think, probably wanted to get some stuff done in terms of announcements about the league by the end of November. That's not going to happen. You've got an FAI AGM, you've got these reports. There's a lot that will still happen over the winter. But I guess we just need to figure out where we are as a league at the start, at the very least, at the start of the February, at the start of the 2020 season in February, we need to know what the structure is for 2021. What are you playing towards here? Mm. And I'm not convinced that we will have that certainty. And that is the fear. But
big vacuum there.
I've enjoyed our year, John.
Yeah, I don't know if you've any suggestions. If we're to be back for season 4, send them on in with your.
Should we be even kept on ourselves? Mm. I mean, maybe we need to be replaced.
We should probably talk to each other and sack each other
and figure it out. But
congratulations, by the way, to the other award winners. Tim Clancy obviously got the Manager of the Year in the First Division, and Jack Byrne and Danny Mandrew. I have to say, the referees won. I was at the referees table, and the Michelle O'Neill choice was wrong. It was wrong on so many levels.
Well, probably well intentioned, but
I do actually feel sorry, because there were a couple of referees at the table, and I felt sorry for them, because obviously they'd made the trip up, and I was given the real dregs table. Like, there was the journalist table, then there was the air sport lads just thrown in with the referees. So they were probably like, oh my god, we've got the real riffraff here, and we were probably thinking the same. We had a great night though. Paul McLaughlin and
Neil Doyle
among others.
First division refs as well. Really enjoyed the night. I've enjoyed the year. I mean, it's been a historic year in Irish football. When you think that this time last year we were in the Delaney years, quite a lot has happened. I mean, Stephen Kenny's been when we did our last show last year, we didn't know what was coming with Stephen Kenny as such. We've had Vinnie here obviously today, a change in the guard in that respect. We still probably haven't. It hasn't been a vintage year for the league overall. I mean, I mentioned Lee Power, cutbacks at Waterford, situation at Limerick.
UCD, how poor they were by the end of that.
You know, there's familiar uncertainties, and we focused over the last 2 weeks, it must be said, we've had really great insight and access to the two top clubs in the country at the moment.
Thanks to the lads for coming.
Yeah, they're obviously in a very different place to where other clubs in the league are, and have to be mindful of
that. We do apologise a bit that we don't get people from the likes of Derry and Finn Harps off. It's just not really feasible. So it's a geographic thing. It's very difficult. And I know I read an article today that, Derry players don't really get the credit they deserve, such that
Parkhouse should have gotten the player of the year and so on and so forth.
None of them have Skype either, which is...
it's very...
Could we introduce Skype to Derry over the off-season? That's the excuse we get every time we try and get a Derry player.
We tried to get
Skype.
Harry Ashcroft as well after he scored the goal against Drogheda, but he didn't have Skype either, and he was in Australia.
Finally, yeah, we should find out, because our predictions for next year, we might as well do them now early. I mean, why not? I think, you know, a lot can change. I mean, people might listen to this show, and, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday, they might listen to it. Robbie Benson.
Well, you have an article just in the paper announced. That, you know, Jack Byrne and obviously Lee Grace both linked with Hull.
Well, that wasn't my story initially, that was Aidan Fitzmaurice, but my understanding is Lee Grace is over this week with Hull, and we shall see. This could date very quickly, but I get the impression that Hull were of the mind that they wanted to sign him because they'd spoken to people in the league. And I know people are up in arms with him going on trial. I don't think this is a typical trial. This is not one of these trials where an agent sends a player to a club. The manager's never heard of him. I remember Richie Towle telling us about a trial he went on once, and the manager wasn't even watching his trial. This is not that. This has been driven by the manager of Hull, who wants a specific player and has spoken to people who work in the league here about that specific player and has been told to sign him. So
we've got to wrap up. I think it's ridiculous that making predictions without even knowing who's playing.
Well, is it though? I think
Dundalk are less vulnerable to outside stuff than Rovers, because if Rovers lose Jack Byrne and possibly Grace, Dundalk lost Benson. It's not going to make an awful lot of difference.
He's a great player, and I'm really... I hope he's really sort of happy, and maybe the fresh start at Pats will be a good thing for him. But I just think my general point is, Rovers have to obviously deal potentially with the adversity of losing someone that's been important to them. The Dock have faced that every season over the last couple of years, until last year, and they lost the manager. But I just think listening to Vinny there, I don't think that the Americans have fully started some of the work they've come to do, and I still think they're going to have a recruitment power there that is going to make them really hard to stop.
Who will win the first division?
The first division, that's a good question.
You know, you get, as a Galway fan, you get confidence with the players that were signed with Duggan. But then, you spoke to some of the first division managers the other night, and it's not like they're in a particularly bad way.
No,
either.
Well, there's no one coming down that's going to... I mean, UCD aren't going to come down and sort of dominate it. So,
I think Galway will have a very good season.
Drogheda can keep the... I think Bray will do better next year.
Dylan McGlade, obviously, off to Blythe Spartans. I've learned one thing this year, is that I'm not going to ever predict anything again. Thanks to everyone, though, for coming in. That was 40 episodes of...
It's been a pleasure.
Season.
Pleasure working with you, son.
Plenty of interesting guests. And
pleasure working with Boyone.
Thanks to Derek Owens, done a great job. Thanks to Chris. Thanks to everyone in AIR. I can't actually thank AIR enough for what they've done for the League of Ireland and this podcast. They've answered all our questions in terms of what we want on the show, and just great promoters of the League of Ireland. Hopefully, we shall see you, Dan, for
who knows, John,
season 4, and see you next season, guys. But there are limits to your life.